We have so many stories in our lives, but our stories are not always heard. On the Hear My True Story podcast, we tell our own true stories.
Before the white car backed, our head teacher had scattered. Looking at him, I could only see his tie that was flying backwards, waving at us, and he disappeared in thin air.
I want to share my life story. I want to share my voice with the people because I know that just a small joke I can tell through this podcast, it will make someone smile.
When you ask me what I fear most in life, I would definitely respond to you and say it's fear itself.
We are fighting for togetherness. We are fighting for equal rights. We are fighting to end injustice.
You don't have to be a storyteller or writer because, guess what? Life writes the best stories.
Hear my true story.
You talked about culture. I'm going to tell you my experience because I came from Uganda, from eastern part of Uganda, which is in Busoga. We tend to greet people with details. So when I arrive in German, because my culture, we greet people, you know, I say, hello, good morning, how is everything, how are your kids? So I go to work and I greet my colleague every morning, good morning, how are you, how are the kids? Okay, yeah, she has a dog, how is the dog, is it doing well? So this person gets quite a bit uncomfortable. It's like, then he tells me one day, Otaku, it's okay, you greet me, but that, I think that's too much. You're asking me about so many personal things. So that for me, that was a culture shock to feel like, okay, someone can be uncomfortable because someone is greeting them.
But it's different here. When I came, the first shock I got when I arrived in Massachusetts in a little town that I came to call Lowell, I didn't see any person outside. But of course, it was summertime and it was too humid, extremely humid. And now I understand why. But at the time, I didn't understand because there were so many houses, so many buildings, cars parked outside, and no single person was outside. No single person. I can promise you that. And I talked to my, you know, I kept it to myself. But later on, I asked my brother, hey, what's going on? You know, like, yeah, people here keep to themselves. And even when I stayed at that place, it took me almost 2, 3, 4 months without knowing the faces of the people that were neighbor to our house. You know, I was not seeing people, you know. You're indoors most of the time. When you get out, you're going out to work. So that was a bit of a culture shock to me.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hear my true story.
Yeah, our dear listeners, welcome back again on Hear My True Story podcast. It is me, your host, Otaku, and I'm always excited to have you every week. Oh, wow, guess what? Every week we have a wonderful guest on our podcast, and we are really looking forward to hear what our guest says today. However, I'm happy to say those who have subscribed to our podcast, thank you so much. And for those who have not subscribed, new listeners, you can subscribe and you can listen to the podcast from all podcasting streaming platforms. We are always happy whenever you are there. So without taking a lot of your time, I would like you to listen to what we are going to talk about today. We are all migrants. I'm a migrant from Africa, Uganda, and I live in Europe. And my guest is also a migrant from Africa, Uganda, living right now in the United States of America. And you know what we are going to share today is our experience, our personal stories, how it is be a migrant living in a country where you know that you are a minority, at the same time where you need to work hard, and at the same time where you need to use your past experience from the global south when you are living in the global north. So if you are someone who's looking forward to migrating to another country, it would be maybe US or maybe Europe, Germany, you need to stay on the wonderful podcast. And for those who are already living in the United States, maybe living in Germany, Europe, and you would like to hear some of the stories from people who have migrated to countries like Germany in Europe, definitely stay on the podcast, and we hope that you can learn something from our personal experiences. Yeah.
This week's special guest on your favorite podcast.
Hear my true story.
Yeah. Wow. I'm really happy to have you as a guest on this wonderful podcast. Could you introduce yourself for the listeners to get to know who is behind the microphone, or maybe who's behind that iPhone listening to this? talking to our listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Otako, as I call you, Otako Mpata William Rogers.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here. I know we've been friends for some time. My name is Arnold. My last name is Chambade. And my family name is Ziwa. So most people call me Ziwa. If you want to call me Arnold, I live in Massachusetts in the United States. I'm a television producer. I started journalism and also currently into cybersecurity as well. I'm a parent of two beautiful twins, and I'm happy to be here.
Wow, thank you so much. Our dear listeners, I'm going to tell you something. It's called Arnold Chambade Ziwa, but because he got twins, he gets another name. So would you like to be called that name, or would you like to share with our listeners what name now you have, because you have twins, depending on our culture from Uganda?
Of course, Salongo, and it took me a long time to get used to it, because most of the time, people that give or are called or referred to as Salongo, where I'm from, are usually a little bit older. So when I became a Salongo, it took me a little bit of time to adjust. I might say as well, my dad is a Salongo. So it really took some time to register. But yes, feel free to call me Salongo.
Wow. I'm really honored to call you Salongo. And I would like to say congratulations for having your wonderful daughters, twins. Yeah, if I'm to be really on point.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And for our listeners, in Uganda, when someone gets twins, they get new names. If it's a man, it's called Salongo. And if it is a woman, she is called Nalongo. So today I'm going to refer to you, Salongo. So Salongo, I'm going to tell you my experience, because I came from Uganda, from eastern part of Uganda, which is in Busoga. We tend to greet people with details. So when I arrive in German, because my culture, we greet people, you know, and say, hello, good morning, how is everything, how are your kids? So I go to work and I greet my colleague. Every morning, good morning, how are you? How are the kids? Okay, yeah, she has a dog. How is the dog? Is it doing well? So this person gets quite a bit uncomfortable. It's like, then he tells me one day, Otako, it's okay, you greet me, but that, I think that's too much. You're asking me about so many personal things. So that, for me, that was a culture shock, to feel like, okay, someone can be uncomfortable because someone is greeting them. Because where I come from, they ask you about your children, your home, your chicken, your cows, your goats. I mean, how was it for you in these culture adjustments when you moved to the US? I don't know about US, I know about German. People in German are clear. They say, hello, done. How was it for you?
Yeah. That's very interesting. Of course, I think that's the distinction is it's the same. I'll tell you one thing that was different for me. In Uganda, we have like community-based neighborhoods, you know. Our neighbor, like where the place I grew up in Zambia, we had our neighbors, and their father would punish me if I did something that was not acceptable in that area, you know. And if I went to report to my dad would punish me too, you know, for being punished by another parent, because apparently I'm not being, you know, English is not my first language. I'm not being, I do not portray well, like the family values, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get punished by a neighbor, and your dad, instead of going to the neighbor and say, hey, this is my son. If you want to, your dad will punish you too. So I grew up in an environment where we're community-based. The neighbors could walk into your house and grab something, and all they do is shout, hey, Otako, I'm here, you know, I'm grabbing a glass of water, and you don't even care to try and know. You would not really mind, because we have open doors good enough. We have weather that don't require us to close doors. We don't have the winter or the extreme summers. So we live outdoors. And the moment you wake up in the morning, you open your door wide, and you're probably going to close it later in the night. And anybody can walk in whenever they want to. But it's different here. When I came, the first shock I got when I arrived in Massachusetts in a little town that I came to called Lowell, I didn't see any person outside. But of course, it was summertime and it was too humid, extremely humid. And now I understand why. But at the time, I didn't understand, because there were so many houses, so many buildings, cars parked outside, and no single person was outside. No single person. I can promise you that. And I talked to my, you know, I kept it to myself. But later on, I asked my brother, hey, what's going on, you know? Like, yeah, people here keep to themselves. And even when I stayed at that place, it took me almost 2, 3, 4 months without knowing the faces of the people that were neighbor to our house. You know, I was not seeing people. You know, you're indoors most of the time. When you get out, you're going out to work. So that was a bit of a culture shock to me. And the fact that there's a policy here, you keep your hands to yourself. Even in school, kids are trained not to touch themselves. The fact that another parent would not be able to tell a child that don't belong to them on how to behave is another thing that I found a little bit shocking. And I mean, fair enough, each country you get to a new place and learn. Yeah, but that was a big shock for me.
Well, I think it's not so far from here in Germany, maybe also here in the European cultures. Also, me, when you said about moving to someone's house and take a glass of water, it is the same thing. When I moved here to Germany, I found some Ugandans, and then because I was from Uganda, I was literally not a person who makes appointments. So I just went to one of the doors of one of the Ugandan colleagues and I rang the bell. And then he opened and said, Otako, no, I know you know me, you are from Uganda, but it's not my friend. You need to make appointments. you can't just pass by. I said, yeah, I was on your street and I said, maybe I say hello to you. And then I came and rang the bell and said, no, Otako, this is Germany. You need to make appointment. And right now I have an appointment. Sorry. We can't talk. So he left me at the door. He went to work. So appointment making was a big culture shock for me here. And also that you need to meet your friend. You need to make an appointment. You need to see your neighbor. You have to go there, ring a bell, and they tell them, why have you rang the bell? I said, I rang the bell because I want to say hello to you. So like for me, when I moved to a new flat here where I'm living right now, I had to say hello to all the neighbors to get to know them. You know what? There's a neighbor. I rang the bell. The neighbor opened and I said, hello, yeah, we are new people. We have moved here. They was like, yeah, thank you, bye. And then he closed the door. Can you imagine? Thank you, bye. In my head, I'm like, what is wrong with the people in Germany? I'm being nice. I'm trying to build a neighborhood, to know a neighborhood that I'm living in. But people are about themselves, their children, their dogs.
Yeah, I might add as well that maybe it also depends on the place or neighborhood that you're in, you know, because at the time I was living in a rental complex, and you're living within people that are actually renting properties, not homeowners. But it's a different case, I guess, when I, for example, have a friend of mine that lives in Texas. They have their neighbors. One of their neighbors, not all of them, but at least one of their neighbors. They share keys, you know. Like, I give you my key, you give me your key. If something happens in your house and you're not there, I can run in and help out. Their children would go and have a night sleepover. They have such trust. Yeah, so you might find some situations where if you're a new person in a place and you have a dish of vegetables or fruits and you take to your neighbor, some will welcome you, you know, say, hey, oh, glad to see you. You welcome to our neighborhood and whatever you need, let us know. Yeah, there are some neighborhoods that are going to be that welcoming. But I think they're specific and they're not all over. And I think it happens mostly in places where people own homes, you know.
Okay.
I hope I make myself like understand.
I get that. Yes. Where it's like a setup, like a village where everywhere owns a property.
And when you own a property, it's your house. It's a, you know, like for example, the place I'm in, it's different from a rental property I had before. Yeah, but even here, I didn't get any welcome. I didn't get a welcome present or gesture. There was somebody who saw me parking and say, hey, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. Are you the one going into this house? I'm like, yeah, that's me. Oh, my name is so-and-so. This is my wife. And, you know, we had like a very mild conversation. But it's not personal enough that if they have a graduation, they're going to call me for it, you know?
I get that.
It's different. It's different when you graduate in Uganda, the entire, like, how do you graduate and your parents' friends don't show up? You know, that doesn't even work. So, yeah, there are limits, but some areas do have that, you know, welcoming gestures that are okay, but, you know, but there are limits.
I mean, you talked about like those people who are like have already got made contact with people and they made friendship. The friendship has grown. What was your experience of making friends when you moved as an African migrant? I'm not talking about an African American born in America, raised in America, but as a migrant, how was it for you to make friends? Because for me, to make friends in Germany, you need to create time for it.
I know. Let me see. You know, the first step is when you're in your house, you're in your house. So unless if you're going to bars or clubs, of which I don't do that anymore. I used to do that. I used to do that back in the days, but I feel like now I'm getting more responsible. And I forgot to mention that the work culture in America is also like hectic. Like you work most of your time. It's if you need to save as much money as possible, you have to put in the time and work. So once you start working, then you might have some like very little time left for to socialize. Okay, and that makes it a little bit difficult to make friends. But my first job, I worked in a credit union. I don't know if you have credit unions in Germany, but they're more like banks. They're banks, you know, but not termed as banks. They're credit unions. They're financial institutions. So I worked in there. And of course, during my training, the first person I sat next to is actually still my friend to date. And he's a white young man, you know. So we had just that vibe, have the conversation, talked. And eventually we left the training together. We started working on the floor. We went on the same team, same department. We became friends. And then through him, he started connecting me to other people and maybe, you know, also myself finding other people. I think it also comes down to where you're working and the culture and the kind of people that you're going to work with. For me, again, at that part, I think I was a little bit lucky because of the environment, the way we were working. Our office space was open You know, like, it's not like cubicles that you're going to be only four or five people in the office. We had like an open floor, you know, there are different desks and you can stand and whisper and talk to, shout to somebody who's about 10, 20 desks away from you or throw balls during your breaks, you know, and during lunch break, you can walk in there, find other people and play pool, you know, shoot pool or something. Like when you make friends, there are friends that stay and there are people that you're going to talk to. Here, people have that tendency. You can be somewhere and talk to somebody in a in an African or Ugandan culture. There are certain conversations you have with somebody. And when you see them tomorrow, you say, hey, how you doing, buddies? You know, and they're going to respond back. But here you can have a conversation that you feel it's too personal. And then the next day, that person will pass like they don't know you, you know? Yeah, but yeah, I made some friends and I think I've noticed that that happens a lot, that you can have a conversation with somebody and the next day they pretend like they don't even know who you are. Or if you find them somewhere in a store or you've gone to maybe a restaurant or something. Yeah, I've seen that, but I think it also depends on what you do and where you're working and the environment of the people you're surrounding.
Mm. I mean, personally, it took me some time to really make friends. And when I count, I don't have so many friends because I was working in a theater at that time. So I could meet people, yeah, in the theater, in theater and that. And then after that, I moved to working in the kindergarten as a pre-educator where I meet children and then meet co-workers and meet their parents. But still, I needed to find right friends. And then there are people that, of course, just like you said, you talk with them and share with them your personal conversations. And then the next day you meet them, they really don't know you because they are not, they'll tell you, I'm not your friend. Yeah. I know you. I know you're called Otako, but we are not friends. Yeah. So when I went to Germany, that's when I realized that, oh, there's a difference between knowing someone and a friend. Because where I come from in Uganda, where we come from, you meet someone, you know, you talk one day, next day, you say, that one is Otako, is my friend. And they openly talk to you. They tell you their personal conversations. You tell them, you meet them the next day, they are really back to the conversation the way it stopped. Here in Germany, conversation is gradually responding to how the friendship is growing. The first time you meet someone, you are going to talk about the weather. You'll spend 5 minutes talking about the weather. If not the weather, then came Corona. You talk about Corona. Yeah. If not Corona, you'll not even go into politics because we are not tight friends. Why should we talk about political issues? So it should be weather. I don't know. How is the topic of talking about weather in the US? Here in Germany, first time you meet someone, weather conversation.
Yeah, and that will be surprising because I know you, being an artist, you are very, you talk a lot and you're charismatic. It's you're very easy to talk to. I would imagine that your conversations would be easy going with people in Germany. You're a freestyler, but I'm shocked that it can also be difficult for you.
Yeah, it can. Because when I met one time someone for the first time and we talked all about weather, in my real life, I didn't understand why should I talk about weather? In Uganda, why would you talk about weather?
I mean, you get to appreciate where they come from. Like here we have four seasons. We have summer, spring, winter, fall, you know? And it goes by so quick that it becomes a conversation. And like, for example, when I'm in spring, we have pollen. These pollen grains that fall from trees in Massachusetts, we have that. I don't know if you have that problem in Germany as well where you live.
Yeah.
But the pollen creates allergies.
Allergies, yeah.
And I'm very, very bad with allergies. So imagine you're going through a season for like 3-4 months and it affects you by allergies. So anybody that's going to find you during that time and say, hey, how you doing? It's so easy for you to fall back to allergies. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying, right?
I get that.
Yeah, so it's easy to fall back to allergies. And before you know it, they're running into that. Yeah, my granddaughter does that, or my brother does that too, or my wife does that. You should try and use this drop. Like, have you tried this? It's over-the-counter medicine.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think I understand where it comes from. America is so big, and it has a lot of cultures. You find Spanish people, you find blacks, like African, the blacks that were born in America, like the African Americans, as they call them. And you find African immigrants like myself, those that have lived in Africa and then moved to the United States. Then you find people from Italy, Europe, you know, Germany. You find people from China. You find people from India. Because of the diversity and so many people crammed into one, you know, area, there are so many things. Your conversation sometimes entirely depends on who you meet, you know?
Mm.
So if you meet somebody from the Indian community, the conversation is going to be different. Some people know Uganda, especially if they're from India. you know our history.
Yeah.
You know, so somehow the conversation will fall into that. Sometimes, if you meet somebody from China, the conversation might be political. You know, because of the conversation going around America, China, Russian, you know, you know, like superpower kind of conversation. Oh, I hope I had China taking over Africa. Like, you know, like it depends. And if you're comfortable, you can join into that conversation. If you're uncomfortable, you let go. If you find somebody from a white community, their conversation is also going to be different. Maybe that's where you talk about the weather sometimes. But the conversation is more of, oh, I hear an accent. Where are you from? That kind of vibe, you know? So, yeah. Usually the conversations for me end into somebody asking about Africa. You know, oh, how is it like in Africa? Oh, is Uganda in what part of Africa? East Africa? Okay. Have you been to Africa? So the conversations really vary depending on who you're speaking to, you know, and where you found them.
Enjoying this episode? Leave a review now.
Hear my true story.
Yeah. Now you talked about accent. As an accent language, let me go back to me. According to me, because when I moved to Germany, I need to learn German. Yeah.
Yes.
So when I come to Germany with my English language, I'm not able to communicate because people here speak German. So I don't know about the language experiences with you, who comes from a country that speaks English as the official language, and then go to the United States of America, where people speak English, were there some language challenges that you experienced as a person?
No, I think language isn't a problem here because of course, America is an English-speaking language country, and almost a big percentage of people that you're going to find, however broken their English might be, they'll speak to you in English. We do have some translators. I've met a few people during my line of work where I have to use a translator. Somebody lives in America, but they are not good. They don't speak English. I've seen that situation. But in my casual conversations, errands, I'm at a store, I'm talking to somebody. No, I've never experienced that. The only thing I might say is that they speak too fast. Their English is a little bit different. For example, when you pronounce in Africa, in Uganda especially, we pronounce parent as parent most of the time, right? So the pronunciation of some words, they go off like they wouldn't know what you're saying. I don't know if they don't know, if they just pretend not to, but you would speak somebody and they keep asking you to repeat, like, what do you, I don't understand, can you repeat that? And all you said is, oh, my parent is ABCD, you know? And for them, they say, oh, you mean parent, you know? So I've experienced that. And also, sometimes because they talk too fast, when I'm in conversations with my friends and they are maybe having a very funny conversation talking about life as boys or girls in a group, you know, sometimes I'm left out. They'll be talking and I understand what they're saying, but because they're talking too fast, it's hard for me to keep up with that conversation. So I tend to just pause and stay back and just listen to them speak, you know? And then when they feel like I'm not talking, say, hey, Arnold, did you see this? And then that's when I respond. That's the only challenge, I guess. But I know what you mean. I think the accent and pronouncing certain words is the difference for me that I've noticed here. Okay. Like, was it when you say Germany? I know Germany should be the first language in Germany. Do most people speak English as well, or everyone speaks Germany until you tell them, hey, I don't know German, do you speak English? Do you have to ask them if they speak English?
From my experience here in Germany, people speak German because that's their language and they really love their language. This is what I can say. So every document that you receive when you move to Germany is all written in German. You can move to an office where someone can understand the English language, but officially they are going to communicate to you in German. And you will talk to them in English. If they understand English, they will try to speak to you in English. Of course, the moment they realize that you don't understand German language, they'll speak to you in English. And their English is, of course, the German English. Yeah. So you get to understand that. But where the language becomes a very big issue for anyone moving to Germany as a migrant is that you are going to need the language the moment you decide to step in Germany. One, through education. Two, communicating with people. Most people understand English, but they will not speak to you in English. They're going to speak to you in Germany. I mean, in German. Because they're living in Germany and they expect you to speak German. So they are going to respond to you in German. And that's where it comes. And also, you cannot get employment without at least having a level of German. A1 level or having A2 level. You need to speak some German. For me, I've learned my experience of the language, and I would tell someone trying to move to Germany is learn the language. Be open to understand the language, and learning language is learning the culture. Yeah, I have an experience when I came to Germany in 2017 just for a visit, and I didn't know the language. Then I went to the toilet. Instead of going to the men's toilet, I went to the ladies' toilet because I didn't understand the word meaning Herren and Damen. Because when you say Damen, it has something men at the end, and D-A-M-E-N in English, I thought that's men, Damen.
So yes.
I moved to the toilet of men. And then the women came in and they saw me and they were shocked. They were like, what's wrong? This a women's toilet. And I was like, no. It is a toilet for men. It has dumb men. And they're like, yeah, dumb men. You know? So until when I got to learn the language, oh, that's ladies. You get that? And because there was no sign for ladies, so I just used the toilet, the wrong toilet. And language, that's where language comes in. And when I decided to move in 2019, I wanted to continue doing theater. But I could not continue doing theater because I don't know the language. There are few English-speaking theater productions. You need to learn the language to continue what you're doing. Then I decided, it's okay, I need to look for another profession. But to get the profession right now that I'm doing as a pre-educator, I had to go back to learn the language from A1, A2, B1, B2 to C1. And actually this year, I'd not got the C1 certificate of German, the language, because you need to have that certificate to be able to study. So the school wrote me a letter telling me if you don't have the certificate that is proved with the European certificate stamp that you are at this level of C1 speaking German, you are like a citizen. When you have C1 certificate, you are like a citizen. You speak it like a citizen.
Mm.
I was going to be chased from school. The school told me you need to break your education because you don't have a C1. Although I could pass in class my exams, I could write them in Germany, in German language. I could also speak German. They could also understand. We could have conversation and arguments about having the C1 in German. I could respond to their letters in German. So I was frustrated. I almost like got depression. Because the school was like, no, you need to stop your school. You don't have the certificate of German.
And I'm curious.
And that's how
Go ahead.
And that's how I got to understand that language is so important here in German if you really want to make your life better. Until when I got the certificate of German, that's when the school was like, yeah, good. Now you have the certificate. But it's not easy. I had to tell the truth, I failed this exam 5 times. It is C1 level. If anyone listening to this podcast, they know C1 level of German is a hard exam to pass. That's why I talked about language, because here in German, when someone moves in, you need it. You need to study the language. I know people who have been here for over 10 years, 20 years. They can't speak the German language. And you know what? They are not employed because they'll be doing these shitty jobs. But when you want to really, because I was a teacher in Uganda and then also a theater artist doing good. I have an organization in Uganda running right now, employing people. But I could not come to Germany and then I start doing shitty jobs. I need to do a job that I really am happy with, like working with children in daycare centers, in schools, in homes, you know, where I'm speaking the language. You get that? So I had to really study the language. And it's so expensive. It's really expensive. Anyone wishing to learn the German language, you need to invest time and money in it.
I was going to ask you, the fact that we speak, almost the same dialect in Africa, I'll say in Uganda, but we speak multiple languages. I was going to ask you if it helps in any way to learn another language easy, or it's hard. And also, I was watching video that was trending online of different people from different places speaking their language, pronouncing certain statements or verbs in different languages to see which is the hardest. And in that video, there was English, French, I think French, Germany, and maybe Spanish. And German word was extremely hard. Like if you say bottle or something, the other words were like normal words, and then the German word was abnormal, you know, like I'm talking 12 letters, abnormal. Is it easier for you, the fact that you speak several languages back home, or is it even harder? Do you think the German language generally is a little bit harder compared to other languages that you've witnessed or experienced?
I would personally say, every language in life is hard to learn. But what matters is the love and the openness to accept that language. Because you're not just learning it, but you're also learning their cultures. Yeah, because when you can't speak the language without learning some of the cultures of that particular country. Yeah.
So, Taco, you see, I have twins. One of my children has woken up. Do you mind pausing so I can grab them?
Yeah, you can really definitely.
You hear them?
Yeah, I hear them. I also have a kid.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Those are responsibilities of Sarongo.
Yeah.
Let me rush before they wake up the other one.
Okay, good.
Make sure to leave a review. This makes our day and fuels future episodes. Hear my true story.
Yeah, our dear listeners, Sarongo has really gone to help out the kids because they just woke up. But when he comes back, we shall continue from where we stopped. That's what I can say. We have been talking about language, the difference between going to the United States and how language can be really important. And at the same time, when you come to Germany as a migrant or African migrant, how important it is for you to really learn the German language. So we shall continue from there when our guest gets back.
With you every week. Hear my true story.
Yeah, my dear listeners, unfortunately, we cannot continue with this conversation. However, what we shall do is that we shall continue with this same question that my guest asked, how it is like to learn German language when you move into Germany. So if you are listening and you'd like to know more of my experience, please don't forget to follow us again next week and listen to this wonderful conversation with my guest. Yeah, that's what I can say. And for those who are listening for the first time, this is Hear My True Story podcast. You can find us on all podcasting streaming platforms. If you are interested and if you like this wonderful podcast, this wonderful conversation, you can subscribe and you get to know what's happening and what's coming up in our coming episodes. Yeah, I want to say thank you again for my dear listeners for listening to Hear My True Story podcast. It has been me, Otako, your host. And for that reason, I want to say thank you and bye for now.
We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode. Hear my true story.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, music by Edwin Matovu, hosted and produced by Otako. Subscribe to our podcast for more stories and visit us on our website, hearmytruestory.com, for more stories. All the links are listed in the show notes of this podcast.